KOJB 90.1 The Eagle. Good day and welcome to Environmental Voices. I'm your host, Marie Rock. And joining me once again in the studio is Chantel Michaud. We're going to wrap up our What is an Environment program. So go for it.
Hi, Marie.
Hi.
Thank you. I love being here with you. And so what is an environment? We're going to wrap that up and jump it back to the desert. Annual plants. The annual plants that come with the desert, their seeds, they're able to stay dormant until there's enough rainfall throughout the year to sprout and hold that and survive. The young plant would be able to survive on that water that it's saved. So that's kind of some of the ways that the environment self-sustains in the desert, as well as the cacti stores the water in its leaves and as well as in its little spines that you see in the cactuses. The water remains in there too. So that's how the plants survive when they're out in the desert and we don't see any rain for days and days. Photosynthesis takes place on the stems. The plants are really bizarre. Have you ever read up on plants and the life of plants? They actually say that plants can feel pain.
I saw something and about that on Facebook the other day about plants feeling pain.
Yep, and they can see.
Really?
Or not see. I don't know. Yeah, maybe they can.
I'm getting those plants out of my bedroom. No way.
I'm sorry. Maybe not see, but they can feel.
Okay.
Okay, sorry. We're okay here in the radio station. So these plants, they can actually feel. And so they know when to move and how to get the photosynthesis, how to save their water for later on. They actually have like waxy cuticles that keep the water in. It helps the leaves hold it. And when the sun is low and hits the leaf fully, the leaf actually turns over so that it can get more of the sun. So these plants really live and thrive, and they warn other plants of dooming circumstances. And
wow.
Yeah, so the plants are really exciting. I watched a show the other day where it was real slow motion of plants and vines. It was kind of creepy and cool at the same time because these vines crawled up a tree. But they literally came up and their little vines would come up and the three little prongs would come out and grab the tree and grab the tree and grab the tree. It was just like a live animal was coming up and grabbing and holding and grabbing and holding. So it was,
wow.
I know. So it was cool, but it was creepy and just very entertaining because I love everything about our world. And so with the desert and our plants that grow, they also help reflect the heat from the overbearing sun. So when it's really hot, it has a fine layer of salt that's on the plants mm-hmm. and some of the leaves, and that reflects the sun on the really high days. And so that's when the sun gets lower, mm-hmm. where it'll flip over and take some of the sun rays, because then it's not as hot and it's not going to scorch it and burn it.
Wow.
Yeah, just little thinkers out there.
No kidding. You know?
Just little thinkers. And a lot of the animals that live in the desert, mm-hmm. they burrow in under the ground and come out at night because it's a lot cooler. And the lizards, which hunt during the day, even avoid the really hot, hot noon sun in the desert. And so our environment is just fabulous. So depending on where you live, your body's going to adapt. The plants are going to adapt. The animals are going to adapt. And there's always a food chain in all environments.
Okay.
And so in our food chain, we just really want to make sure that everything has its energy. And a lot of it needs the water in the desert. So the water is a major impact on that. And nothing's ever wasted because everything's needed in the desert.
Well,
and
so yeah.
Organic matter and dissipates in the form of waste that's going to be eaten by the plants. So nothing's really horribly wrong.
Wow.
In the desert, minus that if we go out there ourselves with no water, mm-hmm. you know, then we're going to perish.
Yeah.
You know, me and my highlights of life.
Okay. I got stranded in a desert once as a teenager.
Oh, no, that's terrible.
Well, it was me and my friends. We were out like doing the four-wheeling out in the desert kind of yeah. thing. And the car that we were using, it was a car, yes. We had the transmission go out.
Oh, no.
And so we got stuck in the desert. And it gets cold.
Oh, no.
Oh, my gosh. I can't imagine how it was really cold.
God.
So, yeah.
How'd you get out?
We sent one of our brave companions out to walk to the nearest gas station, which is what they did. We weren't that far from the road, so once he got on the road, he just started walking. But yeah, by the time he came back, it was just out of tranny fluid. That's all it was.
Well, that's good.
But, you know, I never, ever want to spend the night in the desert again.
No, that's terrible. I had gotten lost in the forests here in northern Minnesota mm-hmm. in the winter. Mm. And my cousin and I were out walking, and we weren't really far, but we were completely lost. And we just couldn't find our trail back out. We couldn't find anything. Wow. And you know how they're like, don't leave your friend. And that's what we did. We're like, you stay here, and I'll try to find it, and I'll come back for you. I don't know what's wrong with us when we're younger, right? We didn't go too far, and I went back and grabbed her, and I was like, we can't split up. And then we found our way back, thankfully.
Yeah.
Like, right at the edge of dark. And it's like, oh, my God. I don't even know how we got lost back there. It was amazing. I just thought we were in the backyard.
Lucky you didn't run into any animals out there.
Yeah. Yep. I've run into a bear before at night.
Wow.
Yeah. They just ran the other way.
A bear just ran from you?
Mm-hmm. Oh. I was running behind the
like
school.
Like a boss, huh?
Yeah. I ran, he ran.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, we both ran. I ran back to my grandpa's and he ran probably home.
Okay.
Yeah, so in our environments, yeah, the bears, animals, you know, because we know our own environment here with our woods and things, but what about the jungle? Do you ever think about the environment in the jungle? I've never been there.
Rather not go to the jungle.
Yeah,
though.
I'd like to go. Costa Rica has a really nice jungle area that you can go to. It has, Costa Rica actually has desert, jungle, swampy. You can go and see everything if you just go to Costa Rica.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, the environmental factors all around over there.
Cool.
Yeah, so that's kind of one of my go-to areas that I really want to go to. You know, if we decide we want to leave America. Mm-hmm. We're kind of safe here.
You want to go to the jungle, huh?
Yep, I want to go to the jungle. Just give me a helmet and I'll be all right. So our jungles are usually overgrown with a lot of vegetation because they're kind of wet, marshy areas. The jungles are usually around rainforests, thick canopies of the tall, really tall trees. Mm-hmm. And a lot of this I see in my mind because I watch so much Discovery Channel and the History Channel, and I got to get off the sofa. No. But I watch a lot of informational shows, a mm-hmm. lot, and I just love them. So I see a lot of these things. And so in the jungle, they allow more light in making it easier for plants to grow when the canopies are up taller mm-hmm. and higher. It's going to mm-hmm. be able to break through and get down to the underbrush. And so we're going to be able to just see a lot more life and a lot more substance of vegetables and vegetations and plants and flowers and the birds and everybody that just lives there. And they usually are surrounding the rainforest, and that's what makes them so lush and green and beautiful and thick and full. You know, if that's the kind of thing that you like, if you like the thick, full forest greenery jungles, you know, where you can't see past the next plant. Mm. Maybe. I don't know. With a helmet. Why I'm trying to save my head, I don't know.
With a helmet and a net, maybe.
A helmet and a net.
On me.
Yeah, I know, one of those shark nets, those yep. shark vests that
keep the bugs off.
Oh, and the bugs too, yeah. There'd be a lot of nets on you, I think. You have something so it can't bite you, and then for the bugs not to bite you.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Okay, and so then in our jungle, do you kind of know what kind of animals would even be in jungle? I think tigers.
Tigers are in the jungle?
Tigers would be in the jungle.
Wouldn't monkeys be? I always think monkeys.
And those big parrots, too.
Macaws.
Macaws, yeah.
Macaw.
A big, huge macaw. I knew one of those when I was younger in high school. I actually knew a macaw.
Really? Did he live next door to you?
He lived at my friend's house. So my girlfriend used to babysit him sometimes.
Oh, goodness.
Yeah, they're pretty big.
Really?
Pretty big. Hmm. Yeah. And it's a little bit scary, you know, because they're so big. And if you were younger, you watched that story on the birds by mm-hmm. Alfred Hitchcock.
Oh, yeah.
I've always been terror, a little bit of terror of my eyes getting pecked out.
Oh, my goodness.
And so, yeah. So the jungle is a wide range of plants and animals. And again, with the jungle, we have a lot of medicines that are coming out of the jungle right now that we don't even know about.
Really?
Yep. So the deforestation of the jungle is just killing a lot of things that we don't even know yet. You know our friend Daryl Northbird here in the studio?
Mm-hmm.
He was just talking to me about the forest deconstruction, and I don't know what the percentage was that he said, but there was a pretty high percentage of medicines that are still coming out of there that people haven't even found out yet.
Wow.
Yeah, so it's amazing. I'm looking forward to seeing some of it that's coming out. I always watch the science programs, too.
Yeah.
And look at all the updated medical information and
so there might be some amazing cures out there, huh?
There really is, you know, because most of our medicines are deranged from plants.
Okay.
And so our Western medicine actually comes from the plants. And so there's a lot of it out there. And luckily with our plants, we don't have the big side effects, you know, of the chemicals.
Right.
Yeah. So we need to really try to save our environments no matter where they're at. just really look out for each other. Even though we just live here in the Northland, we really got to try to see what we can do for the ocean, see what we can do for the jungle, see what can happen, even for our solar system, that we can do anything for that. Just kind of keep an eye out, like our ozone layer, you know, things like that. So our environment, the water, the land, the mountains, everything, that's our entire environment. So that's kind of what I thought about. What is the environment? You know, we even have volcanoes. We have mountain ecosystems. We have the streams and the lakes, and all of this stuff is kind of, we need this because it's really environmental for the land itself and holding us together.
Right.
They've been just keeping it intact. And so that's why I'm always against the fracking and the oil drilling, you know, because I want the natural energy and the clean energy that comes from our water resources and from our air.
All right. Yeah. You're quite the hippie chick there, Chantel.
Oh, I know. I know. You should have seen me in the 70s.
All right. That's going to wrap up another edition of Environmental Voices for KOJB 90.1 The Eagle. I'm Marie Rock.